Hello guys, and welcome to Cup of Tea and Talks with G, a place where the natural and random conversation amongst friends, family and peers flow over a cuppa. Relaxed, funny and easygoing conversations where nothing is off limits and tangents are encouraged. Think of the chatty, fun and open conversations you have around the table when catching up with someone and you think, oh my god, imagine if somebody overheard what we're talking about, because the conversation's gone down the most random and funny tangents. Well, that's what this podcast will be. I'll be speaking to different people from different walks of life with different experiences in each episode. So thank you for joining me and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hello everybody and welcome back to the next episode of Cup of Tea and Talks with G. This is an episode or a topic that I've wanted to cover probably since I decided to start the podcast. It's something that comes up in pretty much every single episode that I've recorded before now. And I think obviously just with the way the world is and with the way life is, it's such a hot topic and something that affects pretty much majority of people and our day-to-day life, and that is social media. In this episode, I'm joined with Lorna Scully, and Lorna is a digital marketing coach. So she obviously uses social media like I do from a personal aspect, but I suppose she's got also a bit of a unique viewpoint to mine in the sense that she uses it for her business and with her clients and for her work. So when we got talking about, you know, doing an episode together, I thought actually this would be perfect to cover this topic with Lorna. So it's social media, the good, the bad and the ugly. And we literally just list off sort of what we feel is the things that fall into them categories. And yeah, you'll see like there's different sort of opinions. Lorna sort of opened my eyes to things that I thought was pretty black and white, but then she obviously gives her side of it and realized that it's nothing is ever really that black and white. So yeah, it was really interesting to record it and just sort of have that conversation around it. It's so bloody massive. And like I said, it comes up in every topic because it's such a major part of our lives at the moment. But yeah, so this episode, like I say, we record all the episodes in advance, we did this season anyway, and this one was recorded on St. Patrick's Day, and that was just sort of a bit of a coincidence. When we were talking about getting an episode recorded, I said, what about next week? And it turned out that the day we picked was St. Patrick's Day. So Lorna is also Irish or of Irish descent. She's got a massive family in Ireland, so she proper celebrates St. Patrick's Day. And it was her that reminded me we were recording on St. Patrick's Day. I was a bad Irish patriot that day because I wasn't aware of the dates. But yeah, she joined me with a leprechaun hat on and we were talking about, you know, what the traditions were, obviously different completely this year to the previous years. But yeah, joined me with her leprechaun hat on. We talked about our favorite drinks. She's got a shamrock tattoo. So it was really nice on St. Patrick's Day, a day when we're usually at home celebrating with our family and friends, to sort of have that bit of Irish and that bit of home with me on the podcast. So I think you're really going to enjoy this episode, hopefully anyway. But Lorna has got, like I say, such a good viewpoint and sort of is quite open about, I suppose, just different things and different topics within the good, the bad and the ugly. Just a small disclaimer before we get into the episode that obviously within them topics, we do delve on some, I suppose, darker parts of social media and the internet in regards to bullying, trolling, even I suppose how it can affect people's mental health, and obviously how it can be so detrimental. And we do talk about people unfortunately who have died from suicide. So just so that you're aware sort of going into this episode that them topics will be mentioned and covered a little bit. But yeah, really, really hope you enjoyed this one. Massive, massive thank you again to Lorna for joining me and yeah, just getting my brain thinking, really. She proper got the cogs turning. And yeah, I hope it gives you something to think about. And as always, would love to hear your thoughts and opinions and obviously any, I suppose, anything that makes you think about or resonates with you. I'm always open and keen to have conversations around the topics in my DMs or in my messages. So yeah, drop me a message if you've anything that you'd like to add or talk about. And I'm going to get straight into this one now.
Hi, Lorna. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Happy Patrick's Day. I know, literally, this wasn't planned, but when I messaged Lorna about it, I was like, what about next Wednesday? And she was like, well, no, I said, what about next Thursday? And you were like, oh, it's the day after St. Patrick's Day, so it mightn't be the best day to do it. And I literally was like, I'm the worst Irish person ever because I had like forgotten. So it just goes to show that I'm literally like, I don't even know what date it was. And I was like, yeah, no. And she was like, we could do it on St. Patrick's Day though, which is a bit cute. And Lauren did have like a St. Patrick's Day hat on earlier. I do have a green scrunchie, but that's about the height of it for my patriotism, if that's even a word today. But yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day.
But are you planning on having a drink later?
Yeah, like very later. But I also, like I say, completely forgot. And I booked myself onto like an online class at like, it's a 6, I think, till 9. And I never do that. I never, ever do online classes like other than what I teach. And I was like, oh, yeah, let's do that. It's on a Wednesday. You're free. And then when you said that, I was like, oh, you idiot. But I think I'll only do one of them and then get the other one recorded, sent to me, and then, yeah, have a drink. Yeah, I have to. Like, I didn't think I would. And then, like we were just saying before we started recording, all the memories are coming up on Snapchat and Instagram of like 2 years ago when I was at home, 3 years ago we were at home. Like, I don't tend to celebrate loads when I'm here because there's nothing really down this way. There's like one Irish pub, but it's tiny, and then the closest one is Brighton. Like, so, but you go proper all out, don't you?
Yes, we've got to. I think, like, for me in my household, I was explaining to you just before we record, like press recorded, me and my dad we're known as the kind of the plastic Paddies, but for me and in our family, it's very much kind of, it's about remembering kind of the family. Over in Ireland, my family is massive.
Yeah.
And you know, my granddad's no longer with us, so it's just about remembering him, really.
It is a nice, like you say, like it's the family and the roots and the traditions that like come with it. And like I say, it's completely silly and like is somewhat is an excuse just to drink, but it's like, yeah, but it's a nice excuse because we're all doing it together. What will be your, because exactly, we also said, and I said this to Lorna in one of our messages, I need to start like vetting the people I get on, because this is the second or third person of this series that don't drink hot drinks, and I'm like, what, it's a cup of tea. So with the day that's in it, what's your tipple of choice? What will you be drinking later?
I'll be on the Magners later. So I always, there's a tradition that I will have a tiny little Guinness, just because you have to, don't you?
Jesus. Do you know what? I'll let you in on a secret. I've never had a Guinness ever in my life. I've never even tasted it.
So interestingly, I hate the stuff and I've been on the Guinness Factory tour at least 7 times.
Oh my God. Work I've never out. Even done that. Yeah, no, I literally, Nate, ever since he started visiting, loves it and will drink it now here, but obviously drinks it loads when we're home. And everyone's like, oh, you must be having a Guinness. And I'm like, oh, I feel like that's one of them things that like you nearly have to have on your passport. Like, I promise I'll drink Guinness and like spread the word of Guinness. But I'm like, I don't like it. Like, I'll drink cider. I'll drink Bulmers Bulmers at home, but Magners here. I learned that lesson. It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Magners. I will definitely be having a cider later. Nate was like, you can't drink Strongbow though. And I was like, yeah, no, I need to get like a Magners in or something. I'm getting all confused with what I drink and what I don't. I'm just a mix of my environment. That's all.
I think we've probably got a bottle of Jameson as well, to be fair, somewhere.
Oh yeah, we've got Jameson. Actually, we've got a bottle of Jameson, but I nearly accidentally like poisoned Nate because it's not Jameson that's in the bottle, it's Putin. And I didn't know. It's wrapped with sellotape. And we were going to be going somewhere, and I said, do you want me to bring some whiskey and put it in a hip flask? And he's like, yeah, yeah. And I took it out and I was like, geez, that's a full bottle. Like, I didn't know. And it wasn't until I seen the tape, I thought, why is that sellotaped? And I messaged him. He's like, no, 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 don't give me that. That's Putin. I was like, oh my God. I didn't know we had it in the house. And because it was in a Jameson bottle, I was like, you are lucky. Because he'd be there drinking that all day, not noticing. And he would have been in an absolute heap. So we have a bottle of Jameson and also a hidden bottle of Putin. So we're definitely flying the flag over here for all the Irishness. Right, so today we are talking about a topic that I've really, really wanted to do an episode on this one. And when I got talking to Lorna about coming on the podcast, I was like, oh my God, you will be the perfect person to talk about this. Obviously, everyone's got an experience of social media and have got their own opinions and all of that. And, you know, experiences, but I suppose I wanted to speak to Lorna in particular about it because you obviously use social media as part of your job. So it's one of them where like I have a love-hate relationship with it. And realistically, if I really, really wanted to, I could completely cut myself off from it. But it's not necessarily the same when you use it as a business. And obviously, you'll see a lot more pros to that side of it. So before we get into it, do you want to like loosely explain what it is you do? It's really, really interesting. But yeah, I'm all about like digital marketing and understanding that further. So who is Lorna and what does Lorna do with social media?
God, what an open-ended question.
Sorry.
So my name's Lorna Scully. I am a digital marketing mentor. So essentially for the last kind of 10 years, I have flitted in and out of different corporate jobs. I've worked in businesses with kind of 250, 300 million pound turnover. And wow. About 2 years ago, I decided that enough was enough. I had a bit of a mental health breakdown. To the point where, you know, I think it comes to a point when you're driving to work, you know, your lunch break is spent in the toilet crying, you're driving to work crying, you're driving home crying, that you just kind of go, do you know what? Life's too fucking short for this.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah, and, you know, gave my parents a bit of a heart attack, so my world just literally went 180 overnight, and I was like, you know what, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Touch wood, I don't.
Yeah.
But I just, life's too short for this. So I quit, I got on a plane and went to Portugal for 2 weeks. And, you know, I should do.
Yeah. And, did you Portugal wasn't booked, you literally just got on a plane?
Yeah.
I love that. Love that. You just need to, sometimes you just need to run away. And I know like people are like, don't run away. But you're like, I'm not running away forever, but I just need to run away initially. Like you feel like you nearly take yourself out of the bubble. It gives you a chance to sort of look from the outside and then put myself back in the bubble. Love that. That's
all it was. Because it was just, I think I've now become very, traveling on my own and just disappearing for 3-4 days at a time is my reset. Because if I'm kind of in a bit of a slump, and that's why the last 12 months has actually been really, really hard for me, because normally I would just drive to Stansted and get on a plane.
Yeah.
And I've not been able to do that, but it just kind of resets me, because I think if you're having a bit of a confidence crisis or anything like that, there's nothing better than proving yourself right, that you're more than capable of feeding yourself, looking after yourself in a different country where, you know, luckily I now speak a bit of Portuguese. One of my ex-boyfriends is Portuguese, but there's nothing, you prove it to yourself.
Yeah.
So in terms of kind of social media, it is part of my day job. I essentially help small businesses kind of grow online in a way, but through the whole shebang, websites, ads, and social media is a big part of that. And it's really interesting that you said that you would be able to disconnect from it and just walk away and that would be it. There have been times over the last 12 months I've sat and thought, what job can I leave?
Yeah.
Like, can I move to where social is just not part of it? Because as we're obviously going to get into, there is the good, the bad, and the very, very, very ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And it is like, and I think, like you say, what job can I move into? More and more as the years go on, that's becoming less and less. Like, unless you, like, even if, like, so something that I'm looking into a lot at the moment is like, copy and content writing and like video editing and stuff. And even though that's somewhat removed, because I wouldn't directly be actually post on an Instagram or, you know, Facebook or anything like that, there's still always a correlation. Like there's always a link between what you're doing and why you're doing it and all of that. And it's like, yeah, I say I'd love to just completely disconnect and switch off, but I don't ever feel like we ever fully can. Like unless, like you say, you just go completely off grid, like completely. Which is, yeah, it's a bit scary, but I think at the same time, it's a case then, like, you look at, you know, when you sort of, I've wrote down a list of good, bad and ugly parts. And then I suppose it's a case of like, right, how can I maybe push more into the good stuff, you know, be aware of the bad stuff and, you know, control what I use.
That's one of the biggest parts of it. It's about taking responsibility for actually you're in control of what you consume. And I think so many people forget that and they get wrapped up in the negative stuff. And you know, I'm not sat here saying I'm a saint on St. Patrick's Day, but I'm like, I'm the worst for it as well. You know, there are people that I probably hate follow and I shouldn't.
I know, don't. It is. And it's like, you're nearly like, it's like a bit like mental torture. Like, you know what you're doing to yourself, But for some reason, we just keep, you know, pushing that pain point. Just keep going. You don't feel bad enough, right? Let's keep scrolling. And like, it's just, like I say, there is bad parts, but thankfully there is good parts. And that's why I wanted to sort of have the conversation around the good stuff, because like there is parts of my life where I would be absolutely lost if I didn't have social media. So let's get started. Let's look at the good, only because it's in good, bad and ugly. So we might come back to the good at the end as well, because we can finish on a happy note too. But I suppose for the good, obviously there's a lot of obvious ones out there, but I think there's also parts that we forget. The first thing that I wrote, and it's the main reason, I suppose, why I initially got on social media, but probably not the main reason I use it now, is to keep in touch with family and friends. Like, what the heck? How did we ever keep in touch with anyone pre-social media? No, seriously. Like, right? I know we could write a letter or even write an email, but like, I don't know. It's about that. Like, I don't ever feel like I'm in a different country.
Yeah, it was the old, you know, old school picking up the house phone, wasn't it? And the BT dial-up.
Yeah, you couldn't do Zoom on them days. Your call would never last because you'd have somebody picking up the house phone and you'd be like, don't answer the phone. Yeah, like.
And interestingly, so a good story for you. So I remember about 4 or 5 years ago now, I decided to get on the ferry and drive around Southern Ireland and go and visit all of my family. And some of them, you know, my grandparents are from Ireland. So I think my nan's from Kilkenny and my granddad was born in Rostillig. And that part, so I went and stayed on the old family farm.
No way.
And it was like a whole nother world. Yeah. I couldn't get 3G. My younger cousins who were at school, we're talking, I think they were probably 14 or 15 at the time, weren't on Facebook, didn't care for it. Like,
love that.
And I was just, what? Yeah. And yet it was actually, on reflection, it was the nicest time, because I couldn't get on social media.
Yeah.
And so I was just, you know, the family were taking the piss out of me because I didn't drink cups of tea and we were just spending time playing games and the kids. And it was just so nice.
There's a thing about like long haul flights that I like love, because your phone doesn't work. And that's so terrible, because it's like, you know, when it doesn't work as well, when you switch it off. But for some reason, I've never powered my phone off. It's off when it dies and then it's straight back plugged in. But like, yeah, I literally have never switched it off. Like, I'll put it on do not disturb, but like, you know, them 20 seconds it takes to reload are too long sometimes. So like, yeah, completely in control. But I do love, it happened to me once when I was on holidays actually in Portugal as well, where something happened to my phone. I dropped it, and when I got it fixed, there was something wrong with the Wi-Fi receiver, so any new connections wouldn't go through. So for the whole week I was on holidays, I had no Wi-Fi, and it was before data roaming, so you would swear that my world had ended. And actually, after probably about 3 days, it did take a good 3 days, I was so happy, because I remember thinking, right, I'm here. I was there with my dad and my sister and my ex-boyfriend at the time. It was like, if somebody really needs me, they can just message them. And I was able to go on to onto Facebook on their phones and stuff, and check in and have a quick scan, any messages and that. But other than that, I was like, oh my God, I feel free. I felt like I was on a holiday, like a proper holiday. So part of that, like, I do, like, yeah, they're definitely like bits that I'm very mindful of and aware of at the moment. But yeah, I suppose, like, say you've got family in Ireland, and majority of my family are there, and I've also got I've got a sister in Manchester, and I've got friends that are in Australia, and my sister used to live in Canada. And I suppose for me, one of my best friends is in Australia, and we don't speak that often, but yeah, I could tell you everything that she's up to. I don't really miss much, other than obviously the stuff that we don't post, but like, I feel like I know her as much as I would if we were living in the same town again. Do you know what I mean? And that, like, that closeness, and especially, Jesus, the last 12 months, like, what would we have done if we didn't have social media to, like, have everything, birthday parties and quizzes? Like, any, because for me as well, social media, I sort of put it all in the same bracket, like YouTube, Zoom, even like Slack, anything that you talk or sort of, you know, consume, for me, that falls under social media. So yeah, keeping in touch with family and friends, like, I just, even if it's like, say, you don't even message them directly, it's just like, oh, I've watched their story, so I know what they did today, or I know they bought a new car, or I know they've done this. Like, that's just amazing. And I think that's such a special thing that we have, that we probably don't even, you know, appreciate as much as we do. Like, if that ever got taken away from us, like I say, back to the old school of like writing a letter and sending it in the post. Like, I don't even know how long a letter takes to get somewhere nowadays. Like, it would take days, imagine.
But that's the thing, it is so true. And I think you're right, we totally take it for granted. You know, I'm exactly the same. I've got one of my best friends lives up in the Lake District. And, you know, she said to me before, if I'm having a bad day, then I might go out of my way to text her. But she can almost tell if I don't post on social, yeah. She'll text me and say, are you okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I think I am. She's like, well, you didn't post, so something was up, so I thought I'd check. And it's just those kinds of things. You just wouldn't know if it didn't exist.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, like you say, like if... It's funny because when somebody's used to seeing you posting and then you don't, and you mightn't even think anything of it. It might be just, oh, I just didn't get around to it. But like, it's also nice to think that people are aware of that and might check in because they're like, I want to make sure you're okay. And it's like, how lovely that you're aware that my routine or my normal day-to-day habits have stopped and you're checking in because you've noticed that's unusual for me. So in that way, it's so, so nice to keep in touch. What about you? What's another sort of good or positive part about social media?
So I think obviously I could probably talk about it a lot from a business point of view. Yeah. And there are so many pros from a business point of view, but I was kind of thinking about this before we went, before you recorded. And for me, one of the best things about social, and it's not that it's controversial, but we've seen it more in the last 12 months than ever before, is about raising awareness for really, really important shit.
Yeah.
Like if we think about Black Lives Matter, we think about, you know, the lady that unfortunately got murdered not that long ago.
Yeah.
And it has such a negative impact on a lot of people. And, you know, there's almost... I think because it almost becomes like a community.
Yeah.
And if one person's feeling down, another one is, it almost, there's like a somberness about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're all trapped in our homes, or we're all kind of confined to these spaces right now. So that's the one thing that brings us together.
Yeah.
And raising awareness for those kinds of things is just so critically important.
Yeah.
That if we didn't have social, you know, that I watched a YouTube video quite a while ago now, and it was talking about Martin Luther King and when he did his famous speech and how many people turned up to that. Bearing in mind, social media didn't exist back then. And he had an incredible impact on thousands of people.
Yeah.
And that was all done through kind of word of mouth.
Yeah.
And all social media is an online version of that. So we can reach a ton more people.
Yeah.
And talk about the important things that are going on in the world, whether that's, you know, everything to do with race, everything to do with inequality, all of it.
But like, say, even on a like so much quicker as well, like you say, like word of mouth might take X amount of days or weeks to spread, whereas like social media is so instant that as long as it gets enough momentum, like you say, people that aren't even, you know, that whole 7 degrees of separation, I don't even believe that still stands anymore, because between who follows who and who talks to who, I think like it's massively closed that gap. So yeah, like something that needs like eyes and stuff being on it straight away, like we get to see that when we need to see it. Like I wrote sort of similar to that, but like even for me, like I find social media for awareness for like political things, because I don't follow politics like most people, like I suppose of our generation. Like it can be so like boring and also like full of jargon and full of, you know, you just don't need it. Whereas like for me, if I need to find out something, I will go to like trusted accounts or people who will tell me it in layman's terms. They don't, like, I won't go to someone who's like, you know, preachy. I'm like, I need to sort of get all sides of the argument and sort of base my own opinion on that. But like, I wouldn't know half the stuff or be able to make half the decisions I make politically or social awareness ways if it wasn't for social media, because like, it's just like, it's just the biggest pool of information. And to an extent, obviously opinions, which I've actually wrote it in the ugly part, but like opinions are opinions. But I also like to hear that. I like to hear your opinion. And then on the opposite side, I like to hear your opinion. And then I'll somewhere in the middle, I'll form my own. But like, it's so, yeah, like we've got so much information and important stuff that we can take from social media. Like you say, like the Black Lives Matters, that whole thing, like we wouldn't have heard about that. We, you know, if we didn't have social media, like rest in peace, like the
George Floyd, like what actually sort of was one of the biggest sort of catalysts to the whole thing being as worldwide and massive as it was his murder, we wouldn't have seen that on the news or the mainstream media type thing. So therefore, we would have been completely oblivious to it. And I hate, obviously, I promise I'll take my tinfoil hat off in a minute, but the whole mainstream media, we are fed a certain narrative. And like, I'll look at my social media and like you said about a couple of weeks ago with Sarah Everard, who unfortunately was murdered, and she went missing, but I only seen that on Instagram. I seen it nowhere else. I didn't hear about it. I don't really watch the news, but I do have the radio on in the background. I wasn't hearing this, but yet my social media feed was full of this. And I'm like, why are we not hearing this? But like that, we have a little bit more control, I feel, with social media in regards to what we do and don't see. And we can choose to see the stuff that maybe isn't been posted out there on such a big scale, which I just love.
And that's the thing, I think. So for me, one of the biggest changes that I made probably 3 years ago now is I literally don't read the news.
Yeah.
No newspaper, no BBC, no. Yeah. And that's across everything. Twitter, Facebook. You know, I will get up in the morning and my mum will watch Good Morning Britain.
Yeah.
And she'll have a heated debate with me about something that I don't even know yet.
Yeah, you didn't know this happened.
I just refuse to watch it.
Yeah.
And actually, the impact it's had on my mental health has been nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people realize how negative it really is. You know, what news outlet do you know that will constantly, you know, share positive things?
Yeah.
There are a couple of companies that have been made, like the Happy Newspaper from Emily Coxhead. That's incredible. And she has to go out of her way to find those stories.
Yeah.
Just to spread a little bit of positivity.
Yeah.
The news is just always negative.
It's like an episode of EastEnders. Like, it's just you know what you're going to feel after watching the news, or like it's always like doom and gloom, and you're like, why would I put myself through that willingly? Like, it's like, say, it's quite overwhelming.
And what you said about politics, there's one account that I follow on Instagram, because I'm exactly the same. You know, I think our kind of generation, it's almost like politics just seems really overwhelming and you either get it or you don't.
Yeah.
But there's one account on Instagram that's the only place I get my information.
Is it Simple Politics?
Yeah.
Yeah, same. Literally, I found them on the last general election, I think it was. And because, like I'll tell you now, like, I even get confused over, like, what parties are called, what, you know, the nicknames and stuff. I'm used to, obviously, the Irish ones, and that's what I grew up with. So I have to, like, Google these things. And when someone sent me that account, I was like, oh, my God. Because I was like, I want to make a vote based on what I believe and, you know, what values sit with me. But I was like, I've no clue, and there's so many parties. And they literally just broke it down in the most basic ABC of English, and I was like, thank you, I actually have an informed idea,
and it's factual. They, you know, they don't,
there's no bias
on that account, there's no opinion, there's no we think you should do that.
No.
It's this, and it's plain English, and you just appreciate it so much more because you can make your own opinion.
That's the same thing that I do whenever there's any announcements around like lockdown and restrictions. I wait, it says like, oh, Bojo is going to be on at 3 o'clock. I'm like, right, well, at 4 o'clock I'll go on to Simple Politics, and they will just tell me what I need to know and cut out all the crap that's in the middle, because I get so confused. I've watched a few of the broadcasts, and then I'll come out and they're like, oh, did you watch that? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, what did he say? And I'm like, I think he said this, but then I feel like he also said this, so I actually don't know. Yeah. And he's like, did you watch it? And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. So I'll literally go on that, and I'm like, right, this is what we can do and this is what we can't do, and these are the dates, and that's that. Bish bash bosh. done. You also said about obviously business and obviously that side of it. I think that's another really good one, is the fact that there's so many smaller businesses, and I suppose for a consumer that you can find these businesses, but also as a business owner that you've got this audience that you wouldn't have had, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. Like, that's magic. Do you know what I mean? Like, and the fact that you can still have a somewhat small business or small following, but still obviously be highly successful in what it is that you do, because you might need to have 10 million followers to do what you need to do to sort of be classed as successful in your business. I love that. Like, I suppose a lot of your clients find that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think people, because it's free. I think this, for me personally, it kind of crosses over into a bit of a bad and an ugly in a way.
Yeah.
Because I think it's incredible how many small businesses have started, grown, and, you know, are relatively successful purely down to social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on the flip side of that, a lot of people will, you know, look at other businesses and compare themselves to it and then kind of go, well, why aren't I having that success? Why is my business not as big? And they almost kind of, again, I think it's kind of comes back to that underappreciation, because it's kind of my job to kind of remind them that it is a free avenue.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're running a business, you need to be prepared to spend some money, because, you know, we're in business right now.
Yeah.
But it kind of turns over into the bad and the ugly with the comparison side of things.
Yeah.
Just underappreciating. But it is incredible. And, you know, if you think about the hundreds of thousands of small businesses that have started and have only been able to do so because social media is free.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like you say, that there is so many as well, like you say, that overlap. You're like, it's a good, but it's a bad thing. Like, it's so... That's where my love-hate relationship comes from, because it, like, sometimes I get confused. I'm like, I don't know if I'm happy or sad about this. I don't know. But yeah, like, business is, like you say, I think initially to get off the ground or to just start, it's great because you don't have to pay and you just, that's it. I've set up an account, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it looks like. But like you say, I think it's one of them where you're like, right, now that we have a bit of momentum, don't forget it's free, and anything that's free means that you don't actually own it. And it's that whole worry of like, yeah, you've built up 100,000 followers and what happens if tomorrow your account gets hacked, which we've seen, like, it's so terrible. You see it happen where you'll all of a sudden, people are sharing this account going, they got hacked, you know, they've lost all their followers, all their work, all this. And like I say, years and years of work and hard work to get that up, and then all of a sudden it's taken away like that. So that's a really important one, is like, yeah, obviously use that as like a storefront, but obviously don't build your house on it, because the foundations are not yours. Like, they're going to knock your house down tomorrow. Don't do it. Now is actually a really good point to move on to some of the bads, because you've already sort of, my top one and the one that I think of straight away when I think of the bad parts of social media is comparison. Like, it's a minefield. Yeah. For, so, like I say, businesses, people, relationships. I don't think there's any aspect of our personal life that we couldn't go on social media and compare it to 10 million other people and, you know, question everything about ourselves and what we're doing. I think one of the things that, like, I remind myself of it, but I still fall into the trap of it, is like, obviously I know that people post on Instagram the highs of their life, the highlights, the good parts and all of that, but yet still, if you're sat in a low, I'm still going to look and go, they're living their best life and I'm not, even though I know that they haven't posted the lows. Or I think it was I'm editing videos for Lizzie, who's a coach, and she mentioned that sometimes as well, if a low is posted, it's nearly after the fact. Obviously you're not going to be in the middle of a low moment and post there and then, and it's nearly like on reflection, but it's like it's still got that control and that tone. We don't see, it's not like Ed TV, we're not 24/7 just watching a live, like, it might feel like you're watching 24/7 of someone, but we're really, really not. That just reminding that whole comparison thing, it's so dangerous. It's horrible. Like, what your experience has been with that side of it?
I think you're absolutely right. I think, and I think the word dangerous is probably the best word to use, because I constantly think about, bearing in mind this is my job, and I spend, you know, I think a lot of people think that I'm probably on Instagram all day. Some days it really bloody feels like it, I'm not going to lie. But I constantly have in the back of my mind about what impact this current world is going to have on my three young nieces.
Oh, and, I've got, you know, four nieces and I'm exactly the same. I put myself into their shoes and then I go and sit and cry in the corner because I just can't cope.
Yeah. I've got Harper, who is 8 months old.
Oh, I have a Harper. She just turned one.
And Darcy, who's 10, and Mia, who is going to be 16 this year, I think. So, you know, for me, Mia is kind of... I'm most worried about. She's a bright girl, she's got her screwed on, but being put into a world where, you know, people change the shape of their bodies and all of this kind of stuff and filters, and we're all so, you know, we all do it. I use filters on Instagram all the time, and it's just to help me, but at some point we have to almost kind of take a step back and think what's really important. Yeah. And I, you know, I'm slowly coming to the realization of I need to stop doing it, because actually it could be having a negative impact on somebody else rather than me.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you kind of brought up the fact about sharing kind of not negative, but like a low.
Yeah.
Because I think there almost kind of feels like there are certain accounts or there's certain brands, whether they're personal brands or, you know, big brands, that are starting to, you know, whether it's not editing gym wear pictures, whether it's, you know, going cellulite, whatever it is. And they seem to be the ones that are thriving. And interestingly to me, coming up to almost a year ago, I think my sister-in-law's father took his own life.
Oh,
and that morning I had literally, you know, done myself up. I'd put my makeup on, done my hair, and I was doing some recording. And it was in the middle of three videos that I found out, and I just broke. Mm. I couldn't hold myself together. And I wanted to share that moment in a way, in the least narcissistic way. But just to kind of say, because, you know, I had a lot of people message me saying, where have you gone? Like, what's happened? Like, you just disappeared. And so I remember putting a post up of my done up picture, and then a picture, the second picture, where I was just so bright in the face. My eyes were fat as anything. And I just said, look, this has happened. I'm not okay.
Yeah.
And I'm going to disappear for a little bit because I need to be me. I need to just take stock.
Yeah.
And the level of support that you get when you show that vulnerability, although it feels like gut-wrenchingly scary to think, if I post
so vulnerable as well,
someone's going to judge me.
Yeah.
Someone's going to say something negative. Someone's going to, you know, they're going to call me out. They're going to cancel me. Cancel culture is nuts.
Oh, don't. Yeah. That fear that you're always going to do something wrong or say the wrong thing.
But actually, the level of support I got was, it just changed my day.
Yeah.
Because although I'd kind of taken myself away from it, when, you know, you've kind of mentioned slightly a bit of an addiction in terms of not being able to live without it for a couple of days. And it is addictive. It is highly addictive.
Yeah.
All to do with, you know, the dopamine that's running through your brain. But that level of support just flipped it for me, I guess.
It's funny, isn't it? Because like you say, you're like, I had sort of not any which way in the same scale of like similar, but like the second lockdown, I was like, I wanted to document, because I remember in the first lockdown when it was all so new, I was like, this will be something that we'll never forget. I wish we could forget it soon. But
hopefully
at the
never
moment,
happen
again. Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, when we have grandkids, and I'm like, Jesus, I hope by then. but yeah, I'm like, I documented every single day, and I did a post, and some days it absolutely killed me. And I remember I was actually doing coaching with Lizzie at the time. And I was like, I said to her, like, at one point, I was like, number one, I'm worried that I'm boring people. And then she was like, you do understand how quick and like reactive like social media is. She's like, as soon as your thing comes up, if someone doesn't engage with it, it nearly refreshes before they've had a chance. But in my head, I'm like, oh, someone's, you'd swear I was stood on top of like a chimney or something, just like banging a drum. I felt like I was being so loud and vocal. She was like, you're only doing one post a day. She was like, and with, you know, considering how much we consume, she said, that's not even like a millisecond of someone's time. So I was like, yeah, I suppose you're right. So that sort of helped. But I was posting every day, and I started to relax into it. And just even if it was something random, I was like, I want to document this every single day of this second lockdown. And one of the days I didn't post.
Such a good idea.
I really enjoyed it, honestly. And I haven't posted now. Since then, I've probably done like two on the grid posts, because I was like, it was too much for me. It was the most I'd done probably on all my social media. But one of the days I didn't post, and it was a Friday, and I was upset. It was because it was coming to the end of the lockdown lifting. And although I can't wait for that to happen again, there's something about, like, for me, I had to, It was coming to the realization that it was coming up to Christmas, and obviously family being in Ireland and all of this. So for that little 4-week bubble, I couldn't do anything about it. And then obviously reality was setting back in, and it was like, right, now you're in control. You've got a choice and all of this. And I was like, I nearly didn't want that choice. So didn't post, and I literally just spent a day crying. I remember I posted something but not even to that extent. It was like not feeling 100% today, and I took a photo of me in my jammies and I was like, so today is a jammy day on the couch watching The Hills on Prime or something like that. And I had like, that was it. Like, it was blasé as anything. And I had quite a few messages from people that, like, I probably have spoken to more on social media than I've ever spoken to in person. Message me going, just checking in that you're okay, and just letting you know, like, things are okay. And I was, like, blown away. But then, actually, as I sat with it, I got really upset and I just spent the day crying. And I did message my mum and my sisters and I was like, I'm feeling really, I don't know what I'm feeling, but I'm feeling really sad. And I took some photos while I was crying. I don't really know why I did that, though. Like, probably, I don't know. But anyway, and I didn't post it. But then 2 days later, I was like, right, you're doing a lockdown diary, and that's exactly how you felt. And I felt like that for the whole weekend. It didn't go away, obviously, overnight. But I posted it, and it was the weirdest feeling. Like you say, the support that I got, the private messages and obviously comments. And I didn't do it, and I reiterated about 12 times in it. That's why I didn't do it in the moment, because I didn't want to say, I'm still feeling like this. It was like, I'm starting to feel better. And, you know, don't worry, because I didn't want to post something and have my family at home worrying, or even people here who I couldn't see. I didn't want anyone to worry about me. I knew I'd be okay. I spoke to Nate, I spoke to my family, but in the past, I posted it afterwards. But yeah, like the support, and it was really vulnerable, because you feel like you've just literally laid yourself bare. You're like, right, here I am. I'm at a bit of a low point now. And like, it's so silly, because I was like, even them photos, I was like, I look terrible. And I was like, of course you look terrible. You're upset. Like, what else do you expect? But at the same time, you're like, oh, but nobody wants to see my snotty red nose and my bloodshot eyes. But like, but it's the reality of it. And like, I always remind myself, and like I say, I keep my nieces in mind a lot. I'm like, do I want to see them with me like crying like, you know, like a movie star crying where it's just like the slightest tear? No, I was snotty and crying and red faced. And I was like, but that's normal. Like, and it's like, let's try and keep things normal, as hard as it is, though. It's bloody hard sometimes.
But and that's the thing. I think, you know, that feeling, that gut wrenching feeling comes from trying to be perfect, trying to keep up with everybody else's highlight reel. And also the fear that somebody is going to judge you.
Oh, my
and
God.
I think, you know, it's always made me laugh, because a lot of my friends are older than me, and a lot of the times, you know, stuff that I've got wrapped up in, they'll be like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, don't, you know, it's not important. Yeah, don't worry about it. And it would just, you know, I'm talking like 23-year-old Lorna that's consumed by this thing that really didn't matter. Yeah. It probably didn't matter 5 minutes later, but they're like, don't worry about what they're thinking. Don't worry about what they're saying. And I'm like, how can you do that?
Yeah.
And the older you get, and it's always made me laugh, because I'm like, yeah, it's just one of those things. But the older you get, the less you start to give a crap about what other people are saying.
Honestly, like, perspective, and like you say, just sort of years, like, I always say it, because I'm like, I don't want to sound like I'm like, oh, I'm so old and wise nowadays. But like even in my later sort of 20 years, and now I'm 30, like, I look at things that, like you say, I was so worried about, like, in my early 20s, and I'm like, why did I even let myself? But at the same time, it's no good telling somebody in that moment. It doesn't matter, because to them, it's their whole bloody world. Like, stuff that I used to get stressed about when I was in secondary school, I'm like, oh my God, I would give anything for that to be my all-consuming fear right now. Because, like, to me, I'm like, so that didn't even matter. Like, I remember me and my friends, like, we used to get so stressed coming up to our grad, which is, like, your prom, that like too many people would have the same color dress as us. Like, imagine being that worried. Like, imagine, I would give anything for that to be my worry, that someone's going to turn up in the same color, not even the same dress, the same colored dress as me. Like, but at the time, that was my biggest worry, and you couldn't tell me otherwise. That was a proper real life problem to have. I don't care what's going on in the real world. That was my problem. So yeah, comparison.
It's the fear of judgment and comparison. You know, a lot of my, I've got two profiles. So I've got a business one and I've got a personal one. And somebody asked me not that long ago, actually, why I've got two. And I felt, you know, I had to sit with it for a second. Mm. And actually, it was because my personal one is just essentially old friends, school friends, friends that have gone off to have children. I don't. Friends that have bought their own houses. I don't. I live at home with my parents. And that's quite, you know, that's quite a hard thing to... You get judged on it. You kind of, people go, well, Lorna, you're 28, and I'm like, hun, but I'm all right about it.
So. Yeah, that's the thing. Oh, don't. I've with, like you say, with that, like the highlight reel, the tick, 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 I've done this, I've bought the house, I've got the marriage, I've got the baby, like all this stuff. And I'm like, that's someone else's like life plan or route or what journey, whatever it looks like. But like, let's normalize the fact that somebody doesn't have that, but also mightn't want it. I hate that. I know people that have said before, like when they're single and someone will say, so, you know, are you dating or anything? No, I'm not dating at the moment. And you don't have a boyfriend? No. Oh, don't worry, you will soon. It's like, I'm not worried. Like, I never once said that I wanted to have, you know, I didn't want a partner. Like, but it's automatic to assume that, like, oh, if you don't have the norm of what society expects you to have, then you must be upset or worried about it. And it's like, no, hon. Like, I'm quite happy as I am. Like, but it's like, that's breaking me. That stigma. Yeah, like, and that's fine. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, people, like, I have a load of things on opinions, but people feel like they need to give you their opinion, whether that comes from a good place or not. It's like, yeah, like sometimes your opinion, as much as you're trying to make me feel better, you're literally having the opposite effect. Like, it's, I think with social media, people have got such a, obviously an avenue and a way to constantly tell you what they think you should do different or do better or change about yourself or your life, even from the bestest place ever. And you're like, don't remember asking, but like, thanks for just dropping that into my DMs on a Thursday afternoon when I didn't want to know. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the biggest things that I find quite hard is the, I wrote down like personal opinions and like the unfiltered, the fact that people, it gives people a platform to say whatever the hell they want, good, bad or indifferent. Like Piers Morgan, Katie Hopkins, loads of accounts that are like that, where they can say whatever they want and it's covered under the guise of freedom of speech. I'm like, come on, like that cannot be, that's not the same thing as like quieting someone and silencing someone. Like, to me, opinions and putting them out there in a way is just, it's like a no-go for me. I can't hack it. I think the thing, I wrote this down actually, was looking it up. Opinions compared to opinions are given, but they're not facts, but people like to put their opinions across as if it's a fact. And I'm like, no, it's an opinion, it's not a fact. Yeah, but no, that's just what you think and what you feel. And I think with social media, and I find it more on Facebook, Instagram not so much, but I've chosen who I look at and who I follow on Instagram. Facebook's a different kettle of fish altogether. But on Facebook, people literally will put out an opinion, but that's it, black and white, that's a fact. And I'm like, or like, I've read that on Facebook. I'm like, oh, well then, that must be true. Like, yeah, opinions and comparison are dangerous.
I think opinions for me is actually quite an interesting one. And you talking about it there, this might come across quite controversial.
Ooh, so I like it.
I apologise.
Go for it.
I never apologize. What the hell?
I know. Don't ever apologize.
But you're absolutely right in that a lot of people will, you know, voice their opinions and it's fact. And I think to me, that's one of the cruxes, that's the problem. When you think of a problem, when you look at something and you go, that's not right.
Mm.
We never see it. We see it at face value. We don't ever get to the root of the cause. And so many people will say to me, you know, whether it's my mum, whether it's another family member, whatever it is, and they'll say, social media is so toxic, social media is this. And I'm like, do you not think that's just because of the way you view it or the way you use it rather than what it actually is? Because it's not Facebook's fault.
No.
It's not Instagram's fault. It's the people that are using it.
Yeah.
And for me,
your perception as well, like what you see on a day or your experience won't be the same as somebody who only sees nice stuff. Like,
yeah. And I think it's a really interesting conversation to have around the freedom of speech thing, because I think as long as people were to understand that the things that other people are posting is their opinion and isn't fact.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are going to be some people that are open to having conversations. And, you know, if I was to say, I can't think of anything off the top of my head now, but if I was to say something and almost say it in a way that was factual and that's what I believed, I would never push that on somebody else to believe it as well.
Yeah.
But there are people that do that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But then there are also people that want to have an open discussion without being cancelled, without hate, without all of this stuff. And all of a sudden, all Facebook and Instagram and social media has done has heightened that. Mm. And so I actually really appreciate the people that I tend to follow are the most opinionated people.
Yeah.
Because if that means that it can change my perception of something, yeah, even in the slightest, it will either reaffirm what I think or it might make me think something different. Yeah. That to me is a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't view it as Piers Morgan said this, so it's factual and yeah, he's yeah, an asshole.
Yeah, and it doesn't go with my opinion, like so I don't, yeah, like say, like it doesn't need to be us or them type thing. It's like you have your opinion, I have my opinion, and somewhere in the middle there might be a fact, but even if there isn't, like it's just we're all entitled to it, but let's not shove it down one person's throat just because we feel like ours is superior to someone else's.
Yeah, and that's the problem, because that's where people have almost kind of got on their high horse that I'm better than everybody else and this yeah, is my opinion, and that's the freaking problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, if we were just to, you know, one of the things I was thinking about this last night, we always have good ideas when we're in bed or in the shower.
Oh, in the shower. Mine's a shower.
So I was thinking about this last night, and there's a really good book by a guy named Johan Hari, and it's called Lost Connections. And he talks about, and he's done loads of studies about, you know, talking about society as it is nowadays and what it used to be like when, you know, we lived in communities and when we were even all the way back to cavemen and cavewomen. Mm-hmm. Because at the fundamental crux of it, we all need human connection.
Yeah.
And social media is portrayed as this thing that gives us human connection, but actually we're the most unconnected we've ever been.
Yeah.
Because everybody's just at each other. There's no discussion, there's no community, but we need that.
Yeah.
Fundamentally as human beings, we need that. And that's why I always find it really interesting when I have conversations like this and people say, well, I hate Facebook but I really like Instagram. And it's I've got the exact same opinion.
Yeah.
I love Instagram because I have a community there.
Yeah.
And if somebody's having a crap day and I see that, I'll message them.
Yeah.
Does that happen on Facebook? No, probably not.
No, not on mine. And I think it's because I know for when I look at the people I follow on Instagram, I think because Instagram, you very much pick and choose what you follow and what you don't. Facebook, because it's like the godfather, it's like one of the main, like before that I was on Bebo, and Bebo's gone, unfortunately. So my first
Bebo's
ever...
Bebo's coming back.
I know, it's scaring me. I don't think I can handle like picking a top 16 or like that, looking at anyone else's, like my comparison is going to go through the roof. But yeah, I literally had Bebo and then Facebook, and I had that when I was about 18 or 19, I think, literally was when it first started. So a lot of the people that are on it are someone that I met once on a holiday, or you know, my uncle's sister's dog's brother type thing. Like, so I've got the most random people on it, and I just never filter through it like I would with Instagram. And I can just see so much where I've changed as a person. My Instagram, my newsfeed, my stories all very much mimic that. Facebook is just like the biggest throw into the random void of like any person that I've ever met in my life. And therefore that brings up a lot of different people.
Question for you.
Do you feel
like you wouldn't be able to unfriend some people because of what the repercussions might be?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like I've only recently started, like, because I was scared to do it before now, like muting people on Instagram. And I know, and I've checked a million and one times, that if I do that, they don't know, because I don't want to, not because like I'm doing it out of badness. Sometimes it's because for whatever reason, I can't understand. This triggers me. This does something to me that I don't like. So therefore I'm going to mute it. But I still don't want to upset somebody. So Facebook, unfriending, that's it. I may as well just delete my account and like, you know, go live under a rock or something, because I don't want to upset someone. And like you say, like I have the most random people who I'll probably never see again, or, you know, haven't spoken to in the whole time I've been on Facebook. But yeah, now I'm very aware of potentially upsetting somebody or the repercussions of unfriending on Facebook. Whereas that's why I think I just have it there. I'm like, right, that's just the mess that I made in my early 20s. Let's go on Instagram, where it's the more nice curated, where I can mute people and not be worried that I'll upset somebody because they won't know. Like, it's not a crime to say I don't want to, I'll support you, I'll follow you, and you know, blah blah blah. But like, sometimes the stuff that you post has an opposite effect on me, so I'm allowed to have an opinion and not follow that. And that's another thing as well. I hate the whole like announcing, I'm going to unfollow you. Well, you could have done it and not told me. I would never have known. Like, I don't understand why people feel like you need to announce when you're going to thankfully I've never had that. I don't have a business type thing. My page is personal, but I know obviously with business accounts and big accounts, somebody will post something maybe controversial or maybe not even, and then you'll see in a comment underneath, I can't believe you've just done that, I'm going to unfollow you. And it's like, I don't think they're, number one, going to see this comment, and number two, care. Like, come on, like a drop in the ocean.
But I think there are, you know, there are certain instances, especially, especially in the small business world, because yeah. I think a lot of people, you know, it's their babies, their business yeah. is their maybe their first, maybe their third child.
Yeah.
And they treat it like that. And so if you insult a post, if you don't like it, if you don't agree with it, by commenting something like that, you don't actually realize the damage that you're doing, because no. that will probably have a really big knock-on impact on their day. It could even, you know, get them to question whether they should be running the business at all.
Yeah.
And that's been one thing that I've probably struggled with, very much not so anymore, really stopped giving a crap.
Yeah.
But for me, my business is my name, so I trade as myself. I don't yeah. have a, you know,
you're not a separate entity sort of. Yeah.
No. So if somebody doesn't agree with something, if somebody insults something, then, you know, at the beginning, I took that really, really yeah, personally.
Of course.
But there has to come a point where you find that separation.
Yeah, that is like, and like say, it's like say, if someone could comment something, and it might even be just something like, yeah, look, I don't agree with what you say anymore, but it mightn't even be harmful, but like, it's very important to remember that person could have had something terrible happen to their business that day, you know, something's gone extremely wrong. Yeah, your comment is very menial, but in that day, it could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. I'm very wary of what I, like, it's one of them, like, I literally have always lived my life, if you don't have anything nice to say, say nothing at all, especially on social
Correct.
Media. Add that on, especially on social media. Like, because if I can't add any value to the conversation, then I'm just going to keep quiet. And there's sometimes where a post will come up and I want to comment something because I'm like, it's getting my, you know, the cogs are turning in my head, and I'll start writing it, and then I'll get halfway through and I think, that's a pointless comment, and I'll just delete it because I'm like, it's not adding anything, you know, I've got what I needed from that post, or, you know, it's made my brain think, but actually I've nothing of additional value to add. And I'm like, I'm very much like learning how to filter and all that, because I just feel like nobody needs to see it. There's so much information out there. Like, let's not flood the system with me just agreeing, but in different words. Like, we don't need to just thesaurus someone else's comment. Like, so yeah, I think that's really important.
It would be so much better if there were a lot more people like you, to be honest.
Oh, well, I'm trying. Like I say, like, this sort of falls in as well, like, with the ugly part, but like, I just thank the lucky heavens that I didn't have social media when I was a teenager. Like,
yeah, me too, to be honest.
Jesus. And that's why when you say you think about your nieces, I'm the same. My eldest niece is 13 and then 10, and then there's two babies. And I'm just like, I couldn't live my teenage life with everything that I had going on in my head as a hormonal teenager, but not having to deal with the online side of it and the repercussions and the cancel culture, because people get cancelled that aren't even, like, I don't mean famous, but you know what I mean? Like, people get cancelled within their group of friends or within their communities and all of that. And, like, that's just too much to even begin to, like, comprehend at that young age. Like, I would have got myself in so much trouble as well if I could just write whatever if I literally was given a phone and something came up and I could tell my opinion at that age, like, I would have been in yeah. awful trouble. Do you know what I mean? So, like, there has to come, like, a level of, like, I don't even know where that onus falls, though. Is it the companies? Is it the parents? Is it the person? Like, where does that line get drawn where we protect them from themselves yeah. sometimes, and putting that opinion out there in black and white?
It's an interesting conversation, because I just don't, you're right. It's so hard to, you know, if companies, I'm pretty sure some companies don't let, you know, under 13s to join, but yeah. I'm sure there'd be a way around it, wouldn't there? Just change
Well, I just know, yeah, exactly. I used to just always do that. Like, you'd always, oh, you have to be over 18, yeah, grand. We'll just add, you know, X amount of years onto my date of birth and done. Like, there's no checking. I've seen actually, they're trying to bring out a law, isn't it, that you have to provide a valid ID to set up an account. Why has that not happened before now? Like, that's actually baffling.
So I saw that the other day, and so that's come from Katie Price.
Yes.
So I'd like to think everybody knows who Katie Price is. But obviously, she has dealt with a lot of trolls, which I'm really surprised we've got this far.
We're
into
definitely in the ugly stage now when we're talking about trolls.
it's hell yeah. But yeah, so that's come from her, and I understand the logic behind it. I'm also in a lot of groups where, you know, with social media managers, people who, this is our day job, all of that kind of stuff. And again, there's a lot of opinions flying backwards and forwards. And I can actually see both sides of the story. I get why, you know, that would be the initial thought. There should be an element of, you know, you have to have a passport or a driving license or some form of ID to be able to have a social media account. Get that. Understand it. On the flip side of that, if we think about people that are disadvantaged, don't have the money to have a passport or a driver's license, if we think about women, or okay, let's not sexualize that, any human being that is being abused and then all of a sudden has to give over their identity, you know, data is a massive thing. What if Facebook got hacked and everybody's ID got leaked? Like, it's so easy to think of the the face value problem, but it's not until you go to the root.
See, this is why I knew you'd be a great person to have this conversation with, because you would have both sides. This, you were like, so I was like, here we go, because I've only seen that side of it. I've only seen, this is a great idea, do it. And I'm like, yeah, of course. I didn't think about the other side of it, why that's not, like, it's not just a magic wand that's just going to make everything be okay, because like you say, that's not, unfortunately, the world we live in.
Yeah, and it's so difficult. It is so difficult. But you think, you know, and it's not until somebody tells you. You know, I've got a great thing, and I use it a lot with my clients. I'll always say, you don't know what you don't know. There are so many things that we know that we know. There's so many things that we know that we don't know, but we actually don't know what we don't know. And, you know, I'll be the first to say I'm in a relatively privileged position. I've never not had a roof over my head. I've never had to use a food bank. I've never had to... any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it exists. And can you imagine asking those people to provide their identity, in their identification in some way, shape or form, to just be able to do all of those good things that we talked about, to be able to keep in contact with their family, to be able to share their life, to be able to communicate with other people.
Yeah.
It's just, it's heartbreaking, but it happens.
You then, like, you segregate, like you say, a massive, like, chunk of the population, like you say, because like you say, then it becomes a level of privilege of who has access to these free tools that we all can completely attest to the fact that there's benefits and pros to having it. Like I say, we know there's bad sides, but the good sides in that sense, like, yeah, I completely, completely understand that side of it. And that's one of the things, I suppose, that I don't really know how you get around it, because like you say, like, you have to have a fixed abode for certain things. So like, if you don't have an address, but does that mean that you can't set up an account that's on an internet, that you could go to an internet cafe and, you know what I mean, it's your one lifeline or sort of one connection to people that mightn't be in this country or people that are away? And I think that's really sad.
I also actually saw a thread on Twitter probably a couple of days ago now, from a lady that said that she had been supporting, she came across this guy, I can't remember how they got to know each other, but he'd just been let out of prison after 45 years in prison.
Wow.
And so obviously whatever he did was probably horrific.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, in the comments, there was a lot of trolling on there.
Shocker.
But what she was trying to get across was the fact that this guy has now been let into a world that he has no understanding of.
Oh god.
He didn't know what a laptop was. He didn't know what the internet was. He didn't know what social media was. She taught him how to use Zoom. And you know, the past 12 months, I'm not being funny, if there's one person that ever listens to this that hasn't used Zoom, where have you been?
I know.
And to be let into a world where you know none of it and not be supported.
Mm.
Yes, maybe he did something horrific. I'd like to think, you know, people can change and times change and all that kind of stuff, and he's paid his dues, you know. But can you imagine how isolating that must feel to be opened the doors in front of you to an entire different world that you have got not even the inkling about?
You may as well have been put in a time machine and just like, here we go, 1,000 years in the future, deal with it. Like, Because like you say, like the advances in technology and that side of things, even in the last 10 years, like massive. Do you know what I mean? So like talk about 45 years, like it's incomprehensible. Like you say, like you couldn't even, something so basic as, let's just say you didn't understand, you understood an email or you were able to show it and you applied for a job. More than likely at the moment, if you were going to do an interview, they'd say, yeah, that's fine. Just pop on Zoom. Just here's the Zoom link. What? Here's a what? Do I like? And it's just a given. Like say, we're very certain, I suppose, because it's the norm now, we're very much just assuming that everyone can do these things or know these things. And like I say, if you give that to somebody who doesn't know, it's going to be like, you may as well just be like, right, we're just going to do the whole, this whole interview, we're just going to do it in a different language because, you know, it's the same thing. Like, and it is so ice.
By the way, we're talking Chinese.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But like, don't worry about it because we all know how to do that. Like, what? No, where do you learn these skills? And that is, I suppose, in a sense, like for people growing up, the fact of how normal it is for them to be able to access these things. And like the level of knowledge, like, oh my God, like I wasn't like any, which I thought I was tech savvy growing up because I could download songs off LimeWire. Like I thought I was like, you know, I thought I was like a hacker at that stage. I was like, I'm downloading songs here. And like, by the way, I don't condone that behavior. I was like 14, I didn't realize it was illegal, but anyway,
we all did it.
Like, yeah, arrest all of us. But yeah, like I thought like that I was tech savvy, but like compared to what they can do now, like it's just mental. And like it's amazing because like so many other careers or so many other I suppose like people for uni and stuff, like so many other opportunities have come up from the digital age that people wouldn't have always had. And I'm all for it, but like, yeah, we have to also be mindful, like you say, that not everyone has moved with the times as quickly as the times have moved.
It's like, you know, the old-fashioned argument around influencers.
Yeah.
Personally, doesn't bother me. I couldn't give a crap. I'm very much a person of, I've got my own, I'm in my own lane. This is my life. I need to deal with my own stuff. Whereas so many people will go out of their way to troll influencers. Influencers to me are a business into their own. If they take it seriously.
Yeah, it's advertising. Like,
and actually, again, I had this debate with my mother, which is quite funny. So my mum is 70 this year. So as you can imagine, very, very big kind of generational age gap.
Yeah.
And we got into the discussion around influencers, and because some of them have essentially been cancelled on TV recently because of the pandemic and travelling and all that kind of stuff. And I just sat there and said, okay, so what about journalists? And she went, what? I said, influencers are just the digital age version of journalists. And she said, no, that's not true. And I said, well, actually, journalists sent thousands and thousands of pounds worth of free stuff to review. They're sent on holidays.
Sent on trips,
They're sent to go and stand outside a hospital while the Duke of Edinburgh is poorly.
Yeah.
What's the difference? And she went, oh, I've never thought about it like that. Oh, ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Wait a minute. It's the same thing. And yet people will go out of their way to cancel them.
It's just because it's wrapped up differently. And that's, like you say, I think as long as we're fully aware, and like I say, there's professional, I think obviously influencers has become a bit of a dirty word because like with any job and any industry, you've got people that are doing things that don't go with the way they should, or you know, they're doing things that go against the code of ethics and even morals and stuff like that. So I think, yeah, obviously a couple of bad eggs will ruin it for the majority who are doing it right, you know. Like even things like, I'm full aware what an influencer does, and I understand what hashtag ad means and hashtag AF and the swipe up links. Like if it says r.styleme, it's probably an affiliate. And like I will, like if an influencer constantly does a swipe up and doesn't say, you know, affiliate, I'll unfollow them because I'm like, I don't agree with that. I've no issue being marketed to as long as I know that that's what's happening. And even at that, I know it's happening even if you don't tell me otherwise, because I'm very much like interested in all that side of this influencer world. So if I feel like you're trying to pull the wool over my eyes, then I'm going to unfollow you because I just don't agree with the ethics. But yeah, like you say, some people just feel like these people are like stealing from your granny's purse. And it's like, whoa, let's all remember we have got control over who, where and when we spend our money. So yeah, they might tell me that I need to buy this handbag and they might tell me that these 10 grand shoes are worth buying. But at the end of the day, it's up to me if I actually go along with it. And like you say, some people make out like these are daylight robbery. And it's like, well, it's up to you if you buy it. Like, no one's making you. The same as if you watch an ad and they're trying to sell you a new car, you don't have to go out and buy it. They're just suggesting it to you. But people seem to take an awful offense to someone trying to do that type of job. And it's like, it's advertising. It's been around since the days of print and probably before that. Like,
and that's the thing as well. And the example that you just gave of seeing an advert with the car, like, that's the perfect example. If you don't like something, keep fucking scrolling.
Yeah.
Like, nobody holding a gun to your head no. to tell you to buy it. And to go out of your way to go and troll this person and to go and pull up life details and to,
you know, there's one details.
Website that I'm not even going to mention because it doesn't need extra airtime.
No.
But the half the people on there that will create threads about specific people and literally tear their life apart. The only thing I ever have to say is I hope the people that are commenting have never made one single mistake in their life. Because if you have...
Oh, people in glass faces. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like, you, I hope somebody comes along and bats you down a peg or two. Yeah. Because it is outrageous.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, I can't remember, like, this is so, like, I don't know the context of this. I know it's something to do with religion. I think it's one of the Jesus Christ stories. It's from the Bible. And it says, let he who hasn't sinned be the first to cast, you know, be the first to cast the first stone or something like that. And like, none of us could do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, never could. If someone said like, right, you can only do this if you've lived your life 100% without ever making a mistake or doing anything wrong. Well, there you go. But yeah, like you say, these people feel like because they're doing a job that's public and out there and accessible by everyone, that you're entitled to this opinion coming up again, entitled to this opinion about their life. And it's like,
that is the one word that I have used more in the last 12 months than I've ever used. Entitlement. Where the hell has that come from?
Yeah.
Where has that come from? Everybody is so entitled. And again, it's potentially going to offend somebody if they listen to this. So I will apologize for this one, actually. I've seen people that work for the NHS. They might be carers or, you know, in that industry. And I've seen them approach small businesses and saying, I work for the NHS. Where's my discount? Now, I'm really, really sorry.
Yeah.
That's a level of entitlement.
Yeah.
I've got so much respect for nurses, doctors, carers, that entire world of people.
Mm-hmm.
Props to you. I don't think I could do it.
Mm-mm,
but
I couldn't.
To have that level of entitlement to say, I deserve this. I'm of the very strong opinion, nobody in this world is entitled to anything.
No.
Ever. Category.
No, because as well as that, if that's your, like you say, whether it's that industry or any other industry, whether you're influencer or whatever it looks like, everything you do, majority of the time you get paid for. So therefore, that's where the entitlement stops. You're entitled to your pay for your work and that's that. And then anything else that's expected because of this title or whatever, then like you say, that's when it becomes a massive problem for like being entitled. Like, yeah, I've got an awful issue with people who feel entitled just because of something else. And it's like, well, why did you do it? Well, it's a job. All right, did you get paid for that job? Yeah, okay, well then that's it, it's over, it's done, sure. Like, and I'm not, like say, I'm and not, you know, disregarding like that's, I mean, like any industry, if you've done that and you've gotten paid for whatever that looks like, that's where the book stops and it's done. Like, you know, you move on, you get paid
and, you
again
know,
for another thing.
It's not that we're, you know, I'm 100% not discrediting that a lot of people are underpaid.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's a real thing. But that kind of goes back to one of the good parts of social media. Brutal honesty, I probably didn't know until I saw it on social 12 months ago.
I'm sure how would you, because we're not necessarily shown it. So we've got the chance of like researching and looking that up ourselves. Or like say somebody will show it to you and you go, I didn't know that. But I'm going to spend the time to learn about it because I care. And I agree that, like you say, like so many public jobs are massively underpaid. But yeah, we would be screwed royally if we didn't have them. So like, it goes back to that whole like where it makes no sense because you're like, but surely they need to be paid because we need them. Yeah. But we're still only going to give them the tiniest pay rise. And it's like, huh? But like, That's unfortunately.
But it's the awareness
world.
Side of social media.
Yeah.
It's the awareness side of social media. I genuinely, you know, I'm classed in that world. I'm classed as a Joe Blogs, as a, you know, as a nobody. I wouldn't know that kind of thing. And no. I'm sure there's probably hundreds of thousands of people just like me that wouldn't have known that if I had not have seen it on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, I come out with so many facts or stories or like just random stats and someone's like, where did you hear that? I don't know, I read it somewhere. And when I say I read it somewhere, I didn't read it in a newspaper or a magazine or a book. It was on my phone, on Instagram or Facebook. And I'll be very careful as well. I will preface this by saying I won't shoot out a fact that's not a fact. So I won't be like, well, this is, I'll be like, I read this and they said that maybe, or like if I'm going to give an opinion and I'll write it, I'll always say, I think, so I won't say it yeah. is, I'll say I think that it is, because therefore it shows that it's an opinion and might not be 100% true, but it's how I feel about something. So that's my whole thing around like how you put something out there. If you want something to be an opinion, or you know you're saying something, you need to obviously preface it and not say black and white it is, because it's not, it's just how you think, and that's massively annoying.
Agreed.
I suppose the last thing I'll say on trolling, just because of not trolling, on ugly, and that one is you touched on it and I'll only go into it briefly, but it is that whole cancel culture. That's something that scares the absolute life out of me. And for, like, say, being a Joe Blogs nobody, I don't actually have that much worry that that will actually happen. You know what I mean? The worst thing that I might get called out, but no one's going to start a hashtag cancel Grania on Twitter, I don't think, because it would never happen. But like the whole trial by social media, that is something that can just go in the bin. Like, please put it in the bin. Let's leave it. Like, we have seen so many. I've wrote down three names. So unfortunately, last year we seen Caroline Flack and how trial by social media and people cancel culture and even like belittling and joking about obviously quite a massive incident which triggered this whole thing. And then unfortunately, by the end of it, her death by suicide. Like, this is like the massive ugly side of social media that like unfortunately does overshadow all the good sides. But because it's so big and huge and scary, and she's obviously a celebrity, and also like last week the whole Meghan Markle, she was suicidal, she wasn't this, that, it's like I don't really feel like we should be having a community conversation around this, whether you think it happened or not. That's not our place to even have an opinion. Like, there's times when you can have an opinion, and then there's times when even if you do have an opinion, you just keep it to yourself. Like, nobody needs to. Yeah, like how detrimental for her to potentially go online and read everything that people do or don't believe, how she felt in her own mental health. Like, doesn't matter. Like, doesn't matter if she's lying. If she's lying, that's her problem. That's not something that we should all be talking about. And yeah, I just think that's that side of it just is the ugly side to what is such a really good and positive thing that we have. But it would just be just too much to not even mention it, because it's absolutely petrifying that we see that. And we see that on a celebrity scale, but we also don't necessarily always see it on a more personal scale. And the people who aren't celebrities, and the, like, there's people out there who unfortunately like to troll. There's people out there who have been cyberbullied, and that brings it back to like being a teenager and stuff. Like, I remember, like, no matter what was going on in school or if you were out with your friends, it was horrific and blah blah blah, and then you'd go home and it always felt like you had this little safe space to go to. And it upsets me so much to imagine that you can't get away from it. Like, the most I had really back then was like MSN. And if I didn't go on to the house, it wasn't even a laptop, it was like the house computer in the kitchen. If I didn't sit there for hours, I could just literally completely close myself off. And that's not a luxury, unfortunately, that like people have nowadays, especially like I massively always think about the youth, like you say, having young family members and stuff. And I just couldn't even begin to imagine what that's like to always be accessible or always have somebody be able to contact you. I feel that now as an adult, and I know I can switch off my phone. Like, it's crazy how that works.
Yeah. And it just, I think, kind of going back to kind of the youth, it almost heightens it a little bit. So you know, there's so many people that are bullied at school, and I think back in our I feel really old.
I know.
Back in our day,
the old days,
you know, it was almost kind of, it's not that it was the done thing, but it was kind of you pick yourself up and you get on with it. You know, I was bullied at school. It wasn't very nice. I remember being chased home. I remember being shit thrown at me, all kinds of things. But, you know, can I imagine what that would be like if that happened? And then I could go on Instagram or Facebook and it continue while I'm in my own bedroom.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
No, that's supposed to be your safe haven. Like,
no, it kind of scares me.
Yeah. Yeah, it does me too. And I've heard stuff like with young people that I know and stuff, and like say, like, it's one of them as well, like, oh, we'll just block it, but it's so easy, I'll just set up a new account. And like, it shouldn't have to be that you're just constantly fighting fires. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're the safeguards and they're the things that I feel the companies, the big corporations that own these social media accounts, that's what we should be looking to stop and to be able to put into place. I don't know what it looks like, because we've already agreed that it's not necessarily having to have an ID thing. But yeah, most definitely the powers that be, that should be just such a high priority, because yeah, that scares the life out of me. And as an adult, I feel overwhelmed by how contactable I am. You know what I mean? Everyone's got how many Instagram accounts, Facebooks, emails, WhatsApp, Viber. Like, it stresses me out, but I'm fully aware that I am in control. And even at that, I don't 100% feel in control. Put that into the mindset of someone who got upset over who was going to wear what colour prom dress. I wouldn't have been able to hack that. Do you know what I mean? Like, that would have just been all consuming. So yeah, that side of things, if and when they start to put them things in place, I think the power of social media and the positivity of social media is only going to get more, and the connection and the fact that you can, like, I am going to finish it on some good. So these are a few of my good other ones that I didn't say. Like, the fact that you can meet, like, Lorna, we've never met in person. Do you know what I mean? But I've met you through online social media. That's amazing. I want to do that more. That we can, like,
I've got so many online friends that it's just nuts.
It freaks me out when someone says, we've never met in person. I'm like, yeah, we have. And then they're like, no, we haven't. I'm like, no, we haven't. Like, but I feel like I know you. Like, I know you more than I know people that are in my real life. And that's like, it's so lovely, because like you say, like, locational barriers aren't there anymore. Like, you can have friends and get to know people anywhere in the world, or like-minded people. Like, if you're in an area that doesn't have anyone like-minded to you, that must feel so, like, isolating. And then,
yeah,
you go online and then there's a whole community of people just like you or similar interests to you. Like, that's amazing. Like, artists, like, that don't have music like management.
Record deals.
Yep. All of a sudden, they put a song on TikTok and now it goes viral and they're number one on the Radio 1. Like, that's amazing. Like, stuff like that, I think they're the stuff that we need to be doing more of and be more aware of, instead of, like, say, saying social media is bad and we need to ban it. No, we don't. We need to put safeguards in place for the bad stuff, but the good stuff, like, let's not stop that, because they're the positives. I don't know if I've missed any there that you have that are, like, other good bits of social media before we start to wrap up.
No, I would reiterate the online friends side of things.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I've joined so many kind of communities that were predominantly for business, but the level of friendships that I've made out of them are just crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some people that I'm making plans that when we come out of lockdown, I can go and see them. There's one in Liverpool, one Michelle, she's due to go back to Australia.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get out of lockdown before she has to
go.
But if she doesn't, brutal honesty, I'm probably just going to jump on a plane and go and see her in Australia anyway.
Yes.
So
do it.
So, like, what's, that would never have happened if we didn't have social media. So
the world feels, I think, the smaller.
And I think the only thing, the key thing for me, which if I could ever get a message across to anybody, is just to take personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Because, you know, things like not watching the news, muting people that you just have a negative impact on you in some way, shape or form, unfollowing people, whatever it is, like, you're in full control of that.
Setting time limits and stuff.
I mean, time is not one that I'm not going to voice an opinion on that, because mine is horrific.
Honestly, but it's one of my New Year resolutions, and at that, it's gone down. It's still, like, massively more than, like, I suppose what the average person's would be, but I am making tracks because I'm just becoming aware of it. Like, say, I'm like, oh, I spend all my time on social media. I'm not happy I spend all my time on social media. I wish I didn't. And then it's like, well, who's in control here? And I'm like, okay. And, like, it's not easy. Like, it's not Yeah, it's not easy. Like, I'll do something, and I hate the fact of like multitasking. If I'm doing something that doesn't require me to type or write, and I'm watching like a course online, I'll just be scrolling. I'm not consuming what's in my hand, but all of a sudden my screen time is massively high, and I'm like, I wasn't even on my phone then. I'm like, oh, but I was. Like, that's me. Like, I can't blame social media for that. That's all me. If I really, really wanted to, which I don't think I ever would, but I know you can buy these boxes that you put a time limit on it and you shut the box and it will not open for an hour. I'm not at that level of control yet. I'm probably getting a sledgehammer out and breaking open that box, which I'm embarrassed to admit, you know what I mean? But like, that's the way that we are. Like, that's who I am. But I would like to get to that stage where I see people like Stacey Solomon. She's like, I'm going to put my phone in the drawer for the day. I'm like, the whole day? Like, do you take out at all? Like, do you look at it? Like, what's the worst thing that can happen? If someone really needed me, like, they could ring someone else, you know what I mean? But yeah, so I'm trying on that. And like you say,
but that's the thing, it's just about being aware of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wear an Apple Watch as well, so I'm more switched on than I should be.
Yeah.
Because if my watch buzzes, then I'm, you know, it's instant, it's a reaction.
I had to switch that off my watch. Time. I had it on and it was getting too much.
At the same time, you know, over the last couple of years, I've turned all of my notifications off. I don't have notifications
on
Instagram or Facebook. And it's just, it's mind-boggling how addictive it becomes that our phone beeps or something and we instantly pick it up. And you have to be the one that changes that.
Yeah, that's a level of, like, it's control and it's hard, but it's something that we are, as humans, in control of. So yeah, it's not all doom and gloom. Like you say, like, there is a level of control and small steps. If you feel like you're on your phones too much, or if you feel like you're on social media or it's consuming your life, you can gradually start to lessen that. Not like cold turkey, but lessen that a little bit. Before we finish up, as always, I'd like to know any quotes. I think I've already said mine in a roundabout way, but I don't always pick my quotes based on what the topic is, but today I was really particular and I was going to pick this one. And my quote is about opinions. And there's quite a few variations on this one, but this is the one that I'm going with. So apologies in advance for being crude. Dad, I know you're listening to this. So yeah, sorry.
Hey, geez, Dad.
Yeah. Opinions are like having a penis. It's okay to have one and it's okay to be proud of it, but please don't whip it out in public or try and shove it down my throat. And I just saw that and I was like, exactly, mic drop, boom. And nothing more needs to be said. Like, think about that. When you have an opinion, think about it as a penis, and then you might rein it in a little bit more. What about you, Lauren? Have you any quotes that you...
How can I follow that? How can I follow that quote?
You can, do it.
There's one in my head, and I can't remember who said it and the actual logic that it goes in. So it's that... Oh, Christ, I'm really going to embarrass myself.
What is it? We might decipher it together.
Yeah, you might remember it. So it's about those that matter mind.
I've said this one. I know this one. It's those that matter don't mind, and those that don't mind, those that mind don't matter.
Yeah, there's a bit at the beginning to it though.
And yeah, it's Dr. Seuss.
Yes, it is.
Let me see. I've said that was probably the first one I ever said on this podcast. Don't matter, quote Dr. Seuss. There's like there's a full bit at the beginning of it. It is, be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind. Love it.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, and that goes for life, that goes for social media, that goes for everything. Yeah, that's a firm favour on this podcast. Like, I'm a fecker for repeating quotes, so that one will probably come out another 2-3 times, like, because I'm like just recycling my quotes. Lorna, thank you so much for all your knowledge and all your opinions. Your opinions are very much appreciated on this podcast. I like to have them, and I love just different viewpoints and perspectives, and
it's just nice to have an open conversation and not just,
and it be
this
safe.
Is my opinion.
Yeah, and it'd be like, it's okay, you can tell, like, this might be controversial. That's okay. Share it. Let's have, you know, put some ideas into each other's minds or anyone else's. And, you know, it's all knowledge. Knowledge is power. So the more knowledge we have, you know, the more powerful we become. So thank you so, so much. I'm going to put in all the show notes where people can find you and follow you. But yeah, thank you for joining me and sharing your amazing opinions.
Thank you so much for having me. It's honestly been so lovely.
Yeah. And now go enjoy some Magners for the rest of your Paddy's Day.
Sure will. You too.
I will. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, guys. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, it would honestly mean the world if you would leave a review. I would genuinely appreciate that. And if you're liking what you're hearing, please hit the subscribe button so you get notified of any future episodes. Thanks again, guys, and I'll hopefully see you back here soon. Lots of love, G.